Hey everybody, welcome to the 434 podcast. This is episode 4. You've got the box talking to you right now, Brenton Cooper, and we've got the Power. Say hi, Power.
How's it going, guys?
And Tyson Taradari, known as the Chow. Say hi, Tyson.
Hi, Tyson.
We've also got a special guest with us as well tonight. He is also an admin on the 434 Facebook page. Give it up for Nick from Sydney. Say hi, Nick.
Hey, guys. How's it going? It's awesome to be here.
Awesome. All right, tonight what we're going to be doing is basically a general Raw recap, as we normally do. Then, as I turn my page, we have our Ask Our Admin segment. So basically what that is your questions, we answer. Pretty simple. We've also got a new segment called The Rumor Mill. Some certain rumors going around WWE that you may or may not have heard. Then there's also another little one called The Truth About Nick, where our guests that we have, which hopefully will be a weekly sort of thing, will ask a few questions about them, how they came about the page, where, you know, the history of wrestling comes from, what they're passionate about, all that sort of stuff. Then straight on to Hell in a Cell promo, where we talk all about the upcoming pay-per-view in a couple of weeks, and then we'll finish off with our final Tournament of Champions, and we've got the first two matches coming up with that. So yeah, should be an interesting night, boys. Let's amp it up for everyone, eh?
Yeah, let's do this. I'm excited.
Awesome. Okay, first off the top, what I wanted to talk to you about Raw was how good was that finish? How good was New Day finishing on top, Chris?
Yeah, I loved the ending. I was pretty happy with it to see New Day stand tall over a fallen Dolph Ziggler, John Cena, and Dudley Boys is pretty good.
It's about time that they finally got to that point. I mean,
can I just say, I think it's a new day. Yes, it is.
it's good that they've finally gone through with that to get them to where they are now. When, you know, they were just comic relief for a bit, and then the tag team champions two-time world-famous tag team champions, and now they're closing out Raw, and it was actually really good. I enjoyed it. What did you think, Tyson?
I thought it was really good. It's about time that they turned heel and looked as tough as whatever hoped them to be. I would like to see them keep doing this and just destroying people.
I still want them to be funny as well, though.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because they're delusional. That's what makes them awesome.
Yeah.
Nick, what did you think about the finish for this week's Raw?
Oh my God, Raw is New Day. I am absolutely intrigued by New Day right now. They are just everything that we want out of them. They're just bringing so much new stuff to the table. They're so funny, they're so charismatic. It only gets better from here, guys. It only gets better.
Oh, couldn't say it better myself, buddy. All right, going on to the next part that I want to talk about is the match with Paige and Natalya. Now, did you guys see that?
Oh, yeah, it was a great match.
Yeah, it was a great match.
I actually think it's about time. I mean, Natty hasn't had a proper match in ages. And those two worked really, really well together, I thought. It was really good. Nick, what did you see the match? What did you think?
Yeah, I skimmed through a bit. I was watching the recaps on YouTube. But, I'm so happy to see Natty become part of the Divas Revolution. I feel that she should have been there from the start. But, I'm excited to see where they go from here with Natty, because she needs to be used properly.
Yeah, exactly.
She's just such a great wrestler.
Yeah, well, I mean, they completely forgot about her at the beginning, and I think that was the only real aspect of what was missing. What did you think about, you know, Natty not being used in the Revolution, Tyson?
Well, it's a shame.
Mm.
Because Natalya is the best that they have there.
Yep.
It just sucks because that she had to put everybody over, and it's tough, you know, because you do feel for her, because the only reason why she was left out, I guess, was because she was involved with Tyson Kidd, and when he got injured, there was nothing for her.
Yeah.
But that kid, kid's out for what, 2 years?
Oh, at least, I think, somewhere around there, but we'll
so
we'll
they got to do something with her then, so I think this is a great deal. To be honest, she should be bloody champ, man. She deserves everything that she can get, and yeah, in my opinion, she should be the champion. You know?
Yeah, definitely. I like Paige's new outbreak away from the PCB. I think she started the Divas Revolution as such, but with her turning against Charlotte and Becky, it's going to be some really interesting matches coming up. Hopefully, not just Nikki Bella the whole fucking time. Let's have something else come through, and we could have some really good diva matches. Sasha Banks, for instance. I don't think I've seen her lose on Raw yet. Have you?
Not to my knowledge.
No.
It's 'cause she's never on Raw.
Well, she was on Raw this week and she got the win. She's beaten Paige twice on Raw.
So she should.
She beat Nikki Bella, champion twice.
Exactly.
If so anyone's got a claim to that Divas Championship right now, it's Sasha Banks. So hopefully she challenges Charlotte after Charlotte finishes this little feud with Nikki.
Speaking of challenges, the next part of Raw, Kane. Kane and the corporate Kane and the demon Kane taking on Seth Rollins at Hell in a Cell. Surprisingly, it's not a Hell in a Cell match, which is a little bit sad. That would actually be really, really cool. But the card's already obviously got a couple of Hell in a Cell matches. No, because
there's normally only ever two, and you've already booked it with Bray and Roman.
Yeah, exactly, and Brock and Taker. Yeah. But how do you think this storyline's going? Like, do you guys like the rivalry that they're pretty much putting out?
Yeah, if Kane wins.
If Kane wins. Yeah. Well, he deserves a good final run, don't you think?
Rollins thing. All right, what's next after Kane?
Well,
you're not going to give him a rematch. You didn't give Sting a rematch.
Yeah, so. But like I said last week, they're going to try and push Roman onto the title. And Seth is only just a caretaker, basically, at the moment.
Why Roman? What's wrong with Bray?
Nothing's wrong with Bray. This is WWE logic at the moment. They think Roman is the future, and I don't think so.
Nah, shit, man. He met the title on Bray.
Mm.
With the Wyatts, man. They'd be unstoppable. No one could touch him. It'd be awesome.
Nick, what do you think about this this rivalry with Kane and how they're going? Is it his final run, do you think?
I don't think it's his final run, but I have to admit, I'm absolutely loving this feud at the moment. I mean, it's been building up for so long. And we've all said, this pay-per-view is going to be Kane versus Rollins for the title, and now we're actually getting it. And he's brought back Demon Kane, and everybody's loving it because he's doing a kind of Batman thing, how like Kane will be corporate Kane one stage, and we'll go backstage, and boom, he comes out as the Demon Kane, which is so awesome to watch. In terms of if it's his last run, no. I think he's still got maybe another year, maybe close to 2 years left.
Yeah.
Until he hangs up the boots.
Mm. Now, I think what they did on Raw was okay with... continuing from SmackDown with Kane getting the upper hand on Rollins, and then tonight as such almost looked as though that Rollins was going to get the upper hand on Kane, but obviously he went through a table, and we all love seeing Rollins go through a table. Chris, what did you think of tonight's part with Kane and Seth Rollins?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I'm a big fan of Kane, so hopefully he comes out on top. And they've added the stipulation now that if the Demon Kane is unable to win, Corporate Kane will no longer be Director of Operations.
Mm.
So Kane needs his victory.
I don't think Kane will win,
though. But, yeah, that's what I mean. He's not going to win.
I don't think he'll win
he's going to take the loss, and then there's going to be no more Corporate Kane.
And there'll be just Demon Kane. Just
Demon Kane.
And that'll be freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. The other thing we've got, we had the six-man tag team match. The Wyatts and Shield 2.0.
Tag team match.
Teddy Long's in the house. And that was basically like a filler match sort of thing, because you needed something to kind of in between before they finally, hopefully, finish it.
I feel like we've watched this match 100 times
yeah,
already.
Yeah, and that's why we skimmed through it.
Yeah.
It was shit. Did you skim through it, Nick?
I did skim through it like you guys. It, like Pau said, we've seen it 100 times before, and I don't know, but something fresh needs to happen, like a championship on Bray or something fresh.
Yeah, no, that sounds good. The other thing which I'll finally talk about is what in the hell are they doing with Rusev and Summer?
Summer.
Oh my God, it is ridiculous. They need Rusev to be that Bulgarian brute again. And this whole crap with Summer and proposing marriage and whatnot, it's not Jerry Springer. It's WWE. I don't think it's entertaining. What do you think, Tyson?
No, I think it's awful, man. That's why do you keep yelling at the telly? Because it's just...
I don't. Yeah, you're actually yelling at your lap. Fuck you, I hate this shit.
But yeah. To be fair, before we watched Raw, we watched King of the Ring... Kurt Angle versus Shami Man in a street fight.
Oh, yeah, that was...
So Raw was,
very mediocre.
Yeah, we were comparing it to it, and it just... Oh, man, what happened to wrestling, dude?
Exactly.
What happened?
I don't know what...
Nick, what happened to wrestling?
What happened to wrestling? Whoever they've got on the creative team is a bunch of monkeys. That's what happened to wrestling.
Fire Kevin Dunn.
Please. Let's get that as a hashtag, guys. Let's make it trend.
Hashtag fire Kevin Dunn.
Fire the monkeys.
Fire the monkeys. Let's do it. Hashtag fire the monkeys.
At WWE.
All right. So that pretty much covers the Raw recap.
What did you think of Raw overall, guys?
Shit, again.
Yeah. Out of 10, what would you rate it?
4.
Ooh, Bret Hart.
Bret Hart, 4 out of 10.
Yeah, I go 4.5 just because of the New Day. They saved it a bit.
Yeah.
But the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And the ratings have shown. I've just been looking up.
Yeah, the ratings have been dropping.
They're getting dropped and...
I honestly don't think this rating would have done anything good for them tonight. I mean, they would have gone even down further. And the way they ended strong, but I don't think many people would have seen it.
Nick, what did you rate tonight's Raw?
Tonight's Raw, I'll probably give it a 4.5, maybe a 5, just because of the New Day and Natty. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I bet I would have given it a 5 as well.
Awesome. All right, now it's time for our segment, Ask the Admin. And we've asked you all on our Facebook page to ask us any question. Any question you want to ask us that we'd be happy to answer and talk about. And last week it was quite a good success. We had a lot of pretty good questions. The POW and myself tonight will be taking both questions from Twitter and from Facebook. So what we've got first, I'll just go through some of the Facebook ones. One of the first questions that we've got that we're going to talk about is this guy's actually becoming a little bit of a regular now. This is Kenny Gore. Kenny has asked us, how would you have booked the NWO WWE debut?
Oh, wow.
That is a really, really good question.
It's pretty creative. Come to me last.
Tyson, how would you have booked the NWO WWE debut?
Back in 2001. Or was it early 2002?
I think it was
early 2002, my bad.
Yeah.
In the invasion.
Yeah, after they wanted to inject a lethal dose of poison to kill it, and then, yeah.
But
you know, the contract issues, that's why they weren't there for the invasion, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, but you're saying, where would I have done it?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I would have done it smack bang in the middle of the invasion. So you'd have WCW, ECW, WWF, and then the NWO were their own thing.
Yeah.
Right? And they just took from both sides, and they just fucked up both sides. Yeah. Right? And they did their own thing, so they caused their own havoc. Mm. So Vince had to worry about Shane and Steph, and then the NWO on top of that. But
yeah, they had the roster for it, to be honest.
Yeah, and it would have been sick. Like, yeah. And then that Survivor Series match...
Three on three.
You didn't. Well, you wouldn't have to end it with your five... You could have... Oh yeah, you could have 5-on-5-on-5, where you could do something because you'd have.
But you could have had the whole. You could have had like almost triple threats for the whole pay per view. But like obviously WCW and ECW, one member would represent each match. Yeah. So like one match would be ECW guy. But then you could have done that.
But that's what I would have done it, and I would have put them because you could still have the main event that they had with the greatest team that WWF has ever had, right? That team was phenomenal. And then you have the NWO.
Mm.
They're outside the rules, though, so they're fucking around, they're doing whatever they want.
Yeah.
That's when they're just causing trouble everywhere. Yeah. That's when I would have done
it. How would you have booked it, Nick? How would you have booked NWO?
How would I have booked it? Let's say, early 2002, I think I was about 6 years old. I think I'm kind of agreeing with Tyson here. Like, the way he said it, that actually sounds like a really good way to go about it.
Yeah.
Like, I can't really think of anything off the top of my head, so I'm probably going to have to go to Tyson.
We're in total agreement.
Yeah, even me.
That's
100% right. Had the contract issues not been a thing, that would have been perfect.
Yeah, smack bang, right in the middle. Just awesome. To cause trouble.
Thanks,
Kenny. And then I honestly think you could have got Sting then as well.
Yes, true, possibly. And
you would have got Goldberg. That just... Yeah, if those bastards actually cared about wrestling, they would have, yeah, they would have come instead of sitting on their couches.
Mm. Thanks, Kenny, for that question. We'll ask your next one in a minute.
Oh, that would have been so sick.
Yeah.
Because then you...
Sorry, we're still on this subject.
Just remember the primes we had.
Just you saying Sting, ain't been right.
Yeah.
That could fill out, right? So you had Hall, Nash, X-Pac, Sting, Hogan. Goldberg. Oh, yeah, that could all be the NWO.
Yeah.
And then you had the...
And the WCW, you could have had DDP...
Yeah,
Brian Goldberg.
And then you had the Dudley Boys, and Austin, obviously, was the... and then Shane.
But see, I don't think, like, fantasy booking, I don't think Stone Cold would have gone to them. He would have stayed WWE.
He should have stayed WWE.
And then just think about it, you had Kurt Angle, you had The Undertaker, you had Kane, The Rock,
yeah, Jericho.
Jericho, Stone Cold. You had, like, the biggest names in history.
Kane.
Oh, man, wrestling would have been so different.
Yeah, it would be sick. And, yeah, imagine, because the NWO...
I can't believe those guys stayed at home. They could have helped something be something special.
Mm.
But Goldberg, you know the reason why he didn't do it? Was because Goldberg stopped loving wrestling.
He never loved wrestling.
Once it happened...
It was all about money.
The only reason he came back was because the fans were like, you have to come to WWE.
He just wanted the money.
And he was like, no way, we'll do it for the fans. That's why he was only there for what?
A year.
You know? That's the reason why, but he can't stand it.
Yeah.
It's a shame, really.
Yeah, it is. Nah, that's definitely a good topic there. We've got another question here. We have Terry McIver. He's asked us a question. How do you fix the product? Do you bring back aging stars or help create new ones? He's also thinking pushing everyone's merch evenly would help distribute the popularity of the roster rather than pushing a select few. What do we think on these ones, guys? It's a general open floor, guys. You can all chat.
Yeah, to me, it's simple. You go back to your brand split.
Yeah.
That way you spread out your older guys and your younger guys. You don't flood Raw with all your older guys, right?
Mm.
So you've got your two different guys. To be honest, that's what I think. I think you bring back all the titles, Raw versus SmackDown again.
Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT.
No, so I don't want them versing each other.
That's what the game looks like, yeah, right? Yeah, but I'm not saying that. I'm saying Raw and SmackDown separate brands, right? With your own titles, which I think we see.
Yeah.
Because remember, when SmackDown had Undertaker, Rock, right? And Cena, right? And they were awesome, right? And Eddie.
A time when SmackDown was good.
When it was fantastic. And then Raw, had Goldberg, Triple H, and
Ric Flair, Randy Orton.
All them on that side, you know. But you still had, you know, Taker was on SmackDown. He owned SmackDown. And Edge. Yeah. And all these guys, you know. And it was just, that's what it needs. You need to bring back all your other titles. And then it works out so you have your four big pay-per-views, right? So you have Rumble, Survivor Series, obviously Mania and SummerSlam, right?
Yep.
They're your joint Raw and SmackDown, right? Then you split off all your individual ones. So at the end of every month, one you have Raw, then one you have a SmackDown one. That way you get 2 months of storylines for each pay-per-view.
Yeah, I would actually prefer that because that would actually build up character development. Yeah. Just look at how NXT does it. I'm so invested when they do like a network special. Because they've done, nearly 2 months of building up storylines. I mean, it's an hour show, but like, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
whoever writes NXT needs to start writing for Raw and SmackDown. No,
but then how much are you going to love... Because it's going to be the same thing.
Yeah.
That's it. What happens when Triple H finally takes over?
Mm.
What happens to NXT?
Hopefully it keeps growing.
Obviously you leave Regal there, but...
Hopefully it just keeps being its awesome thing. Why can't they all be awesome? When I watch WWE, I want to watch every show that I watch. I want it to be awesome.
Yeah.
And nothing wrong with that.
Dropping down.
It's possible. They've got the talent.
And you're dropping down to 2 hours each.
Cut the hours.
Brand split. You chuck your bloody...
Two hours,
your individual champs, and that's what you do. That way you get 2 months of storylines.
Bring back some more titles.
Well, yeah, this also goes into another question that one of our fans have asked. Dylan Young has asked us, what do you think WWE should change since the Raw ratings are so low?
I think we just listed it.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. That pretty much covers it. Nick, what would you do potentially to fix the current product?
Oh, easily a couple of things. Straight up brand split, straight away.
Yeah.
With that brand split, I'd put two titles on each show. So Raw would have the WWE World Heavyweight Championship and the United States Championship, and then on SmackDown you have the Intercontinental Championship and the Tag Team Championships, and obviously the Divas Championship, which we all wish. And another thing I would put in is change it back to Women's Championship.
Definitely.
So you could have that on both if you wanted to.
Yep.
NXT, I'm not really going to say anything about NXT because NXT is just pivoting to new heights. It doesn't need to be touched. But in terms of main roster, yeah, definite brand split, definite split championships are. Both rosters could have so much potential if you split them up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we can all say it. SmackDown would easily have guys like Cesaro, Owens, Rusev, Ziggler.
Because there's so much talent there.
Yeah, and you'd have the New Day on SmackDown and all that kind of stuff. And then Raw, you'd have the Rollins, the Cena's, all them kind of guys. So that's how I would do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, automatically, straight off the bat, how do you make SmackDown matter? You stick Cena on it. Right?
Yeah.
That leaves room, then you bring Reigns in.
Yeah.
For Raw, and you have Reigns on one side, then Cena on one side. You know, that's how you do
I've got to chime in on this. I just realised if they did that with the characters you said that went to SmackDown, do you know what Raw would be like? We would have endless amount of matches of the Wyatt family versus the Shield 2.0, Sheamus versus Randy Orton,
Seth Rollins
versus Kane. Oh, wait a minute. What's happening? It's the same thing.
Not necessarily.
No, because you switch them up. Then you just...
But I'm just going off with what Nick said was going to SmackDown. That's pretty much what I would mix them all up. That just shows you they don't use half their talent on Raw as it is.
Well, that's the opportunity and the chance to split it all up, and then you've got all these guys that aren't getting used, bring them through the mid-card, give them something to do, and then you have your main events for your Raw and your SmackDown and your mid-cards and, you know, some decent Diva matches on each show. It'll bring things back.
And that would be great. Also, think about the live events. Then you go back to having Raw and SmackDown live events. So when they come here to Perth, we don't get the B-grade roster. You get the full roster because it's a whole brand. Yep. So one brand goes to one side of the earth, the other one goes to the other side of the earth. Right? Yeah, and that's what you have. Awesome. And that way you cover more ground with bigger stars to make more money.
I think they would, yeah.
Thanks very much, Terry and Dylan, for those questions there. That was really, really cool. We've got two more questions to come from me, and then we'll pass it over to Chris. This one is from Stephen Michaels, and he said, and categorically he split it up into a bit, should Vince step down and leave it to Hunter and Steph? Is he too old? Has he lost it? Are his ideas old and dated? Why won't he trust his youth? Is Kevin Dunn a douche? He highlighted the point that we wanted to talk about Kevin Dunn being a douche. Nick, what do you think? Nick, are you there, buddy?
I'm right here.
What do you think? What do you think they should do? Should they get rid of Kevin Dunn?
110% should get rid of Kevin Dunn.
He's a douche.
Oh, damn.
He's a douche.
What about Vince? Should Vince step down and leave it over to Stephanie and Hunter?
I mean, we all wish that would happen. We all wish that, you know, Hunter and Steph be on the top and then, like, still have Vince in the background doing, you know, video, audio, like, all that kind of backstage stuff, not being in charge of, you know, creative and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
In terms of him being too old, you know, he still has a brilliant mind and he still has the mindset to run the company. It's just, some of his ideas right now are running a bit stale, but I guess he sees the bigger picture that we got.
Yeah. No, so definitely.
It's really up in the air.
Tyson, what do you think, mate?
Well, he's been doing it for so long, and you got to think, from Vince's point of view, this is his baby, right?
Yeah.
This is his life. He steps down, he dies. That's the way it'll be, because he'll have nothing to do.
He'll keep going till he's dead.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. There's no way he'll step down, because if he did, it would kill him. When you do something for so long, every day of the week, that's what happens, man. And you must keep him in the background, so...
Yeah.
But one day, it all depends, you know, because the US network's cracking down on him because the ratings have been so terrible, so something has to change.
Yep.
Whether it's get rid of, you know, look, everyone thinks that they can book better than everybody else, you know. Everybody's, it's like when you try and run the country. You run the country from your couch, you know. You always think you're better than everyone else. But when it comes down to it, I'm sure there's a lot of pressure. And they know that they're messing up. It's whether or not they can fix it, but they know what's going on.
Well, they're losing fans, but they're blaming a lot of things. They're saying that people are just not watching wrestling anymore. People don't, you know, enjoy wrestling like they used to.
Well, you can just imagine Vince sitting
there. But the thing is, there's so many people that just, like, you know, you come in contact with fans and, like, they don't watch Raw anymore because it's the same old shit. You come in contact with old fans, they just say the same thing. Like, they don't watch it anymore because it's, you know, they list the same problems that we're talking about now.
Yeah.
Wow. This comes to
creative.
This whole segment has just died. Like, we're all sad.
Yeah.
Where's the power of positivity? We gotta be sour no more. All right.
Well,
now that changed everything. That was good. All right.
You're so white.
I know. I'm so white. Last question that we got is the final one from Kenny Gore, and I think this is a really good talking point. He asks, Sting was arguably the face of WCW, and Austin and Stone Cold were the face of WWF in the mid to late 1990s, but ECW never really had their main draw face of the company. Who would you say was the closest to being that guy in ECW?
Rob Van Dam.
You reckon Rob Van Dam straight off the bat?
Yep.
No one else at all?
He was a big dude. He didn't leave.
He never did.
ECW would make stars, and WCW and WWF would buy him.
Yeah. What do you reckon, Tyson?
Sabu.
I actually reckon Taz.
Taz
was a big focal point.
Yeah, but then WF bought him.
They eventually bought RVD.
No, they bought him after they went out of business.
Yeah.
That's when they got him.
That's what I mean.
Same as Sabu was the exact same.
Yeah.
And he only came for a year, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And same with Rhino. Rhino, like, they stayed until the doors closed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and Dudley Boys, obviously, as well.
They got bought out.
Actually, you know the face?
Tommy Dreamer.
Tommy Dreamer was probably the face. And the Nick's nodding his head right now. He's agreeing.
Most beloved fan, right? Him, Sandman were fantastic, yeah, right?
Yeah. Sandman was a terrible wrestler.
What was Tommy Dreamer's girlfriend?
Bueller McGillicuddy.
And Rhino, like, power-drived her, and then... Yeah. Oh, and then Dudley set her on fire.
Bueller and France seen were the hottest divas going on back then.
I remember... I watched one of them, and Psychosis did a West Coast pop on Bueller off the rope through a table.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow. Yeah.
They could take some bunks back then.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think, Nick?
I agree with those four. IVD, Sabu, Sandman, Tommy Dreamer, and even Taz as well. Like, those were probably the five. I couldn't even pick one from them.
I actually think we're missing one particular person.
What franchise?
My name is Paul Heyman. He was the person everyone wanted to see.
Yeah, but...
He was the boss.
Yeah.
He was the owner. He was the shit. And I still reckon he is the shit, to be honest.
I mean, yeah, at the time, but he left his own company and then...
Yeah, it did go down, but I still reckon he was the main draw face, if not definitely
people,
Tommy.
But people weren't tuning in to watch Paul Heyman. That's the thing. They weren't back at then. They loved him.
It was
him.
Generally a
they
whole population.
Him. No, but they weren't watching for Paul Heyman.
Just for Paul, yeah, no. But
they loved him.
They wanted to drink a beer with Sandman.
Yeah.
And
generally the whole ECW was the draw.
See some violence.
See some breasts and some blood and...
The whole ECW was the main draw. Yeah. Just ECW itself.
It changed wrestling as we know it today.
All right. No, that sounds good. Pal, I'm going to pass it over to you now. What questions have you got for us?
What questions do I have? Well, I've got quite a few. Quite a lot, actually. So I'm only going to go through a few of them. Okay, so James DiPaolo asks a question. He wants to know, guys, do you see Brock Lesnar challenging Stone Cold on the podcast? October 19.
Nick, what do you think?
It's a pretty good question, but in my opinion, no. I can see definitely, like, when we'll all be watching that podcast, we'll obviously be able to sense the lightning bolts going on between the two, but Austin's already said he's not going to have a match at WrestleMania or Wayne, so I don't think there'll be a challenge thrown out. There'll just be a lot of tension on that podcast.
What do you think, Tyson?
There's no chance that they'll fight at Mania, right? None whatsoever. I think they might make fun of it. I think they might tease it and then laugh at the end. But Austin came out and tweeted back to Dave Meltzer.
Yeah.
And said, shitty reporting, right? Because he retweeted and that's, yeah, that's yeah. From Stone Cold.
You know what the funny thing about that is?
Dave Meltzer retracted it straight after.
Dave Meltzer sent it from his brother or sister site, whatever you want to call it. He's got like another site, but it doesn't have, it's not under his name. It's not under his name. And then he shared the article to Steve, and then that's when Steve was like, shitty reporting.
Yeah,
shitty reporting. You know, people behind, everyone knows that Dave Meltzer runs that site.
Yeah. And then
and Dave Meltzer was trying to palm it off as like some other site was reporting.
Yeah, and then he retracted it.
Yeah. What do you think, Brenton?
I think the only time you're ever going to see Brock Lesnar and Stone Cold Steve Austin in the same ring is in our Tournament of Champions.
Oh!
That is the only time we have a team selected by our own Chow. He has put Brock Lesnar and Stone Cold in our Tournament of Champions, which we will talk about later. But yeah, there's no way in hell they're going to have a nice chat.
We'll come to that.
Yeah, we're going to have a nice chat about that that later. Definitely, they will talk a lot of things. A lot of intriguing things. They'll talk Taker, they'll talk UFC, all that sort of stuff. It's going to be really interesting. A topic of those two ever wrestling against each other.
I think we can disagree. It'll be a great podcast.
It'll be a great podcast, but there won't be anything like that.
I think they'll talk WrestleMania 20 as well.
Yeah.
Goldberg, Brock.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be pretty good. We've got another question from Jordan Harris. Now, this one's going to be interesting. I don't agree with it, but how would you go about a Daniel Bryan heel turn?
How do you disagree with the question?
How do you go about a Daniel Bryan
heel turn? How would you go about a Daniel Bryan heel turn? Well, I'll answer it first. I don't go with it. It's not going to happen.
No.
If Daniel Bryan comes back, he's not going to be a heel.
No.
What do you think, Brenton?
I think Daniel Bryan, if he ever turns heel, that'll be the end of his career. He's gone too far now to be a face, and the whole yes chance and the yes movement and all that. If he ever comes back to wrestling, I don't think.
What about you, Nick?
What do you think, Nick? Nick, you there, buddy?
Yeah. So for anyone listening, I'm in Sydney, so we're doing this conversation on Skype, so I am getting quite a bit of lag here and then.
Yeah, I should have studied that, shouldn't I?
it's all good now until like 10 minutes down the track.
Yeah. So what did you think? What do you think? Should Daniel Bryan ever turn heel?
If he returned and turned heel, he may as well have just retired. Yeah. Because that would not go down well.
Yeah.
With anyone.
Well, you Chow?
Nah, man. Bryan's done. He's not coming back.
That wasn't the question.
I don't give a shit. Fuck Bryan.
Oh!
I said this 2 weeks ago, remember?
Yeah.
I don't care about Bryan, man.
Sean is going to be mad at you.
Shut up, Sean. Right, no, you know what? He's not coming back. He's done. Let's just move on. He's not coming back. There's better guys out there. All right, so enough about Bryan.
Yeah, all right. You got a final question?
Yeah, I've got another question. This one's sent by Kyle Dillon. He asks, would you like to see NXT compete with Raw one day as an invasion type of deal, like Finn Balor versus Seth Rollins? That type of matchup.
Mm.
What are your thoughts and how does that shake out? We'll go with you, Brenton.
I think that it's a high possibility. I think the way NXT is going lately at the moment and drawing as much as what a normal Raw would and being better shows, definitely I could see that happening. Hopefully, if they do it, they don't screw it up like they have done in previous angles, like with Nexus coming out and... you know, that was a good angle as such, but they killed it. They went nowhere with it. It went downhill. It was all about John Cena. If they do bring it out, I want it to be basically the whole roster against a Raw, the WWE, basically, because that's what it is.
Yeah.
And just competing against each other to see who's better.
A pay-per-view.
So it's basically kind of, it's like bragging rights.
Yeah.
Basically like the old bragging rights pay-per-view sort of thing, or the invasion type sort of thing. I reckon something like that will be good for people watching. It'll bring a lot of NXT talent into the forefront, and maybe some people that don't still even watch NXT for some stupid reason because it is the best thing going around. If they don't know much of the talent that comes through and they see their in-ring work and they see how good they are, it's going to get them out there and it's going to bring more people in. So, yeah. Nick, what do you reckon, buddy?
I'm kind of on the fence, to be quite honest. It would be absolutely amazing to see an NXT invasion just come up on the main roster and just cause havoc. But at the same time, I'm like, you know what, NXT are doing their own thing. They're developmental. You know, Hunter's got them in a good place right now. To bring them up, it might be a bit too much for some of the talent, but I'm not too sure. On the fence.
What about you, Chow? What do you think?
We're going to finish up with this one. Chow, what do you reckon?
I think it's a bad idea. I don't think it should happen. I think it should stay separate and actually compete.
And wait till those individuals come up to the main roster.
Yeah, because, you know what?
You don't want to give it away too early.
No, it's because in what do you do after that?
True.
Right? What do you do? Because if you're going to bring them all up at once, then who...
Yeah, what do you do when you bring Finn
Balor? There's only so many later on. Independent guys who are that good to be able to go up there, and you can't bring them all up at once. You bring them all up at once, and you got no chance. There's no way.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks, Chris, for covering those questions. Now we've got a new segment called The Rumour Mill. So take it away.
Pal, here with some rumors.
Did you really need that, bro? Hey, look, it's me again. Woo!
Do you guys want to hear about the latest rumor going around?
Let's hear it. Spit it out. Turnbuckle press. Hit me.
Do I not get a vote?
Did you guys see the Adam Rose promo?
Didn't even get a
vote. No, I missed it actually.
You missed it.
I think I skimmed through that.
Well, it was very quick, and he appeared in the back. In a black room, kind of like White Family-esque.
Kind of what, like Leo Kruger-esque?
No, kind of like...
Leo one when he came out and he said, I like poop?
He said, this is what
I like poop.
It said poop in it.
If I could have your...
Pick up my poop!
Guys, if I could have your attention, please.
If I could have your poop, please.
I'm going to be serious for a minute.
Serious poop.
Okay, yeah, go.
He said, and poop. I quote...
Poop.
I wanted to put smiles on little children's faces. Well, poop.
See? Poop!
As he walked away out of the black room, what did you see on the wall? You saw the shadow of the bunny head.
It's Halloween!
What do you guys think this is? Is this teasing the end of Adam Rose? Is he going to slowly transform
into... I hope so.
Adam Rose... Leo Kruger type of person.
I hope so. I love Leo Kruger. I really enjoyed Leo Kruger. I thought, like, Leo Kruger, welcome. I am Leo Kruger. He was really, really good like that. And
wasn't drawing.
Yeah, I know, which was sad. Watched
the E60 special.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't think we need to go into it too much. Most fans today seem like they wanted it. But back then it didn't work.
I think they're just going to keep trying to find something for him. I think that... After the E60 special, there was a lot more interest in Adam Rose as a person.
I think there's a lot more eyes on Leo Kruger as well.
Yeah, exactly. So I think if they are going to go with something else and try him as the party pooper, hopefully it works out.
That's it.
Poop! Pick up my poop!
And there was also something special tonight that happened during Raw. There was a bit of a tweet going on.
A tweet?
Yeah, somebody sent out a tweet.
Ooh.
During Raw.
Can I answer that one?
Do you know who it was?
I think it's this guy.
What? That's right. Your man, CM Punk, sent out a tweet during Raw.
I like this song.
And this is what he said. If you're going to give money to a company that claims to raise money for finding a cure for cancer, please do some research. Komen is a scam.
I've heard a lot of stories lately.
Very controversial. What do you guys think of this? We'll go with you, Nick. What do you think of CM Punk's tweets during Raw?
I checked Twitter today. I was on my lunch break at work, and that was the first thing that came up, and I read it, and I went, oh my God, here we go. Because I could just tell that the IWC is going to blow up over this because it's CM Punk.
Yeah,
and you're right, IWC has blown it up. It's all everywhere and dirt sheets everywhere.
Yeah, 100%. And as soon as he said that stuff, like, I tried to do as much research as I could on it. I did some before the podcast. I don't really know what to say. Like, if it's a scam and they're just they're a scam of a company, then shame on them. And thank you to Punk for bringing that up to our awareness. But if it's not and it's all total bullshit, then, you know, it's not really my problem. It's WWE's problem because they're in cahoots with the company. So they should be the ones doing better research if they are a scam company.
Exactly, because they're supposed to be putting the money towards, you know, fighting this sort of stuff, but they're doing it for something completely different, aren't they?
No, well, technically, for education and stuff. It's just like any charity these days, guys. You gotta look at what you're paying for.
Mm.
If you donate to a charity, do some research. It's not that hard these days. You can actually find, it's all legitimate online. They tell you how much of the funds are actually donated towards the particular, I don't know, what do you call it? I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah.
Poop.
at the end of the day, really.
Whatever the charity is, whatever the designated charity is, each organisation has like a certain amount of funds they give to that. With Susan G. Komen, basically nearly all the money that you donate, nothing goes to the charity.
It's
basically
a publicity stunt.
It all goes to the reason, like, obviously Komen is for breast cancer. Money goes for it. A lot of the money goes to the shareholders and the people who work there. I think the president or whatever is already on like $500,000 a year.
Where's Don when you need him? Don would be perfect for this situation. I saw a few Facebook statuses the other day from him talking about this.
Yep.
Unfortunately, he's unavailable at the moment, but hopefully we're going to get him on soon. He's based on the east coast of the US, so hopefully we'll get him on. We might have a good subject to talk about there.
Yeah, I think it's also interesting. 10 minutes after Punk's tweet, he sent out another tweet. Obviously,
of course he did.
He obviously got...
the coach raided. Never stops.
He got raided by fans everywhere.
Yeah.
And he replied with, "The truth is never popular. Fuck all of you crazy asses. Read a book."
I miss Punk.
So yeah, he's paying attention to Raw and he's letting people know how he feels. So yeah. Good on him.
Mm. All right, thanks for the rumour mill there, Crisco. That was quite good. Now we're going to have a little conversation with our good mate Nick. And it's time to get down and dirty and the truth about Nick. In a sec. Nicky, talk about yourself, buddy. When did you start following WWE?
Oh God, how long ago was it? I think I would have been around 7, maybe 8 years old. I was at my cousin's house and he had Foxtel. We were skimming through the channels and it came on and we just started watching it. And from then on, I was hooked. I can't remember exactly what match or whoever was on the TV, but I fell in love with it straight away. And I know that's kind of a cliche. Everyone says, "Oh, I've been in there with it at first sight, blah blah blah." But I just knew, you know, I was gonna be a long term fan of wrestling. I think the first proper match I recall watching would have been one of Eddie Guerrero's matches on SmackDown.
Yeah,
that was.
Do you remember who he faced?
I'm not sure. Maybe
was it the Brock Lesnar stage where he was competing for the title? Was it before that?
Quite possibly. It was quite possibly around that time.
Yeah, because that was 2004 when he had No Way Out where he won that title. So maybe around there. Yeah, cool. How did you come about the 434, my friend?
Oh, here's a story.
Were you a fan of the page?
Early last year, so it would have been pre-WrestleMania 30 days, so maybe just after the Royal Rumble. I was at work and I was on my lunch break and I saw a post from our old page, AWM, the Australian Wrestling Movement.
Oh.
Chris ran.
Oh, wow. Yeah, fair enough. Well done.
That's taken it back to the bold, eh?
Yeah, that's going back, man.
Yeah, and just remember, you guys posted up just a regular status saying, hey, looking for admins and yada yada. So I'm like, no, I'll give it a go. So I sent you guys a message saying, hey, I'm interested in being an admin.
As what normal anyone else would.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then, Chris asked me for a couple of memes that I've made, my history of wrestling and just stuff like that. And got the job. I was on AWM for a bit until we shut that down. And then I'm pretty sure I moved over to 434. And at the time, we had one too many admins on there, so it was a little bit hard to post.
this takes me back a bit.
Yeah.
you get no teary eye, my friend.
The memories.
The memories.
Taking you on the nostalgia trip.
Who was the big admins, the bosses back then? Well, it was me.
I think it was you, Island, and remember Don was there.
Island.
Oh, okay.
It was still the main guys, but there were a couple of others. I don't remember who they are. And then I got a message one day from Chris saying, hey, man, we're going to move you over to our other page, Pro Wrestling Entertainment, PWE. And I was on there for, I think, up to a year, maybe close to that. And then I got moved back to 434 when numbers got cut for admins. And, yeah, been on here ever since.
Awesome, awesome. So how old are you, buddy, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, no, that's okay. I turned 20 this year, so...
Wow, 20. So you're like the youngin' of the family, pretty much.
Oh, no, the middle child.
Oh, exactly, the middle child. Hashtag the middle child. So or middle child. For those of you who don't know, it's Hellavaro.
Hellavaro,
yes. Hellavaro.
That was my admin. That was my admin tag until Tyson over there said it was shit on the last podcast.
Because it is. What does it mean?
Explain it.
What did Hellavaro mean?
Hellavaro is the Haluva Kick by Sami Zayn. Fused with the Red Arrow by Adrian Neville.
Wow, that's terrible.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time out to chat to us tonight. It's it's 9:30 here in Perth, which means it's 12:30 in Sydney time. So thank you very much.
I've only got work in a few hours. No worries.
we've got the last final segment coming up, which I'll get you to also have a little chat about, and then we'll finish up. So the final segment of the night is the one that everyone's been waiting for. It's our Tournament of Champions that we've just started to release, where we've set out our new tournament as such. What we're going to do is I'll play our intro and I'll get you up to speed with what's happening. So, the Tournament of Champions. All right, basically what we've decided to do is I've gone out there and I thought of this idea. This is my baby. This is what we're going to do. What's going to happen is I have asked our fans to go out and pick a team that they think would work well together, gel well, and the most likes that they had on our Facebook page would end up becoming a participant team in this tournament. So we've got a few teams already competing, which have also already been on the Facebook page. The first match that we put out, there are a total of, 16 teams. The first match that came out was Kane and Abyss versus Rob Van Dam and Sabu. Now, how do we think this one's going to play out? How is this match going to go? Chris, give us your insight on this one.
Oh, it's going to be a hell of a match.
It's going to be a hell of an arrow.
It's going to be insane. It's going to be great. I could see some chairs getting involved.
Yeah. Well, how do you think, how would you see your team that you would suggest winning, how would they win? How would the match play out?
Well, it'd play out pretty well. I could see, Kane and Abyss dominating for most of the match. Probably I'll start off dominating RVD. I think RVD would get tagged with Sabu.
It should really be a full Metal Mayhem match.
That's what I mean. Like, I reckon they'd get chairs involved. And I don't know, maybe the general manager of the match will make it weapons involved beforehand. But, you know, I think they'll just dominate and cut off Sabu from RVD for most of the match.
Yep.
Dominate him, and you'd obviously get the hot tag in with RVD. He'd come in, tear the roof off the place. And I think ultimately it would lead into a.
It would lead into Kane.
It would just lead into Kane dominating because he's the demon. Probably, chokeslam out of nowhere. Sabu would get up. People would think that, you know, they've got a chance and the monsters would win.
Kane and Abyss. Yeah. You'd see Kane chokeslam Sabu and Abyss hit the fall away slam, not the fall away, the black hole slam on RVD and bang, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, that'd just dominate.
Awesome. Well, that match, we have a winner.
Oh, wow.
We do have a winner. It was only 24 hours that we put it out there.
Ooh.
So, advancing on into the next stage of the Tournament of Champions. Drum roll, please.
Now we can paint.
Kane and Abyss took this one out.
Oh, how did they win?
They won 49 likes to 32 likes.
They won by DQ.
No, I mean, like, how did they win?
By DQ.
What?
Sabu used barbed wire.
Sabu used, but it's all Sabu's fault. So they advanced to the next round. Nice. And our final match that we are going to discuss is Randy Orton and Ethan Carter III taking on the team of Dean Ambrose and Mick Foley. How good of a match would that be? Nick, what do you reckon would happen in this one, buddy?
Wow.
I remember seeing that one being posted by you on our page, and I went...
And you ruined it.
Ruined.
You ruined it. You posted... You did what you weren't supposed to do and comment for your team. You just got to like it. And you ended up having two of them to pick from.
I had to admit. In terms of this one, I would see the two nutters winning it. Ambrose and Foley, I can just see that match being an absolute, as JR would say, slobber knocker.
Yeah.
Orton and EC3 would put up an amazing fight, but I see Ambrose and Foley winning it in the end, possibly a dirty deeds to EC3, and then it was the soccer to Orton.
Oh, nice.
Ambrose gets the pin.
Well, I think you're right there on the money, buddy, because the fans thought the same thing too. We had... Dean Ambrose and Mick Foley winning this one, and they got 180 likes compared to Orton and EC3, which were only a measly 56. Basically, we have Ambrose and Mick Foley going on into the next round, and the next couple of matches that will be coming through will be next week. We'll do it over a 24-hour period again. If you guys, we want you to look out for that. There'll be four new teams to pick from. You check out our Facebook page to see the teams and see if your team got through, if you selected. Also, too, just finishing up now, we want to thank you all for listening tonight. It's been our pleasure to present this to you. Thank you, Nick, for spending time with us tonight. Hope you've had a good time, and we'll do this again sometime.
Oh, absolutely. It's been an absolute pleasure, boys. Thank you to all the fans for listening out. Subscribe to our podcast, like our page, yada, yada.
And, yeah, good, man. It was really, really good having you. Ciao. Thank you for your presence and your comedic colour commentating once again.
Yeah, well, good.
And Pow, it's been your pleasure.
No worries.
Or has it been my pleasure? I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to the 4th of Hill Podcast, Episode 4. And we will see you next week.
I'm like Chipmunks, man. I got this, yeah.